The text for this Christmas day is written in the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning at the fourth verse, and reads as follows, in Jesus' name. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear worshipers of the Christ child on this Christmas day, which is the most important Christian holiday? Christmas, Easter, or Pentecost? One might say that Easter is the most important because that's when we celebrate the time when Jesus died for our sins and rose again to give us eternal life. But we would not know about this without Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to the church to bring us to faith and to convert us and to keep us in that faith. But Easter and Pentecost would not have happened without Christmas, where God the Father sends his Son into the world to be our Savior. In reality, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost are all great holidays. They all celebrate the wonderful acts of God. Christmas, we celebrate God's gift, God the Father and his gift of a Son. Easter, we celebrate the Son's gift as he gives his life for the life of the world. And Pentecost, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, of faith and the gift of joy and peace. And so on Christmas Day, we celebrate the Father's gift as we consider God sent forth his Son, as we see from our text for this morning. And our text wants us to understand that he is sent to be born under the law. He is sent to redeem us from sin. And he is sent to make us sons of God. For Christians around the world, Christmas can be a sentimental and emotional time as we sing Away in the Manger and Silent Night and Joy to the World, the Lord has come. As we grow older, the Christmas celebrations may also bring us feelings of nostalgia as we see that things aren't always the same as when they were when we were young. And we may also have feelings of inadequacy as we may not be up to sledding or baking or driving long distances in order to see relatives. But dear friends, Christmas is not about how we feel. It's about Jesus and what he did to save us. Consider how lonely Jesus was as being the only one who was perfect in this world and having to live among sinners. Consider the temptations that came his way, his growing up as the light of the world and having people reject his miracles and his words. Consider how the persecution that he endured as people turned away from him and actively sought to kill him. And he lived his life knowing that he would have to suffer great pain at the end of his life and die on the cross. And yet, Jesus was willing to be born, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Our text says that Jesus was born in the fullness of time. This means that God had prepared everything so that it would all fit in the time of Jesus. The fact that the Roman Empire had rule over the Mediterranean states and brought peace to all people was one of the aspects of this fullness of time. And the fact that the Romans crucified people was also an aspect of this special time in the fullness of time. The times were relatively peaceful. And we also see that Herod, not being a Jew, was the person in charge of the Jewish state. And that was a fulfillment of prophecy. So just at the right time, God sent forth his Son, born of the Virgin Mary. God's Son took on our flesh in order that he could be in our place as our substitute and do the things that we could not do. And though he gave the law, Jesus placed himself under the law. He was born under the law to keep it and to fulfill it and to pay the punishment that we deserved. Now, at the right time, Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh, our flesh, and became obedient to the law and to death. Even as he lay in the manger, Jesus was keeping the law for us who had broken God's law. The Bible says, by one man's sin, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Jesus actively obeyed the commandments that we broke. And he passively allowed himself to obey the Father's will and be placed on the cross for us to establish our righteousness under the law. This is what Jesus was sent to do. Even before Jesus was born, the angels declared the work that Jesus was to do. The angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Zacharias declared, "God has visited and redeemed his people, that we should be saved from our enemies." And ancient Simeon prayed to God, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people." These messages declare to us that God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send Jesus to make this world a better place or to be able to make it possible for us to share love with one another. Those are all good things, but that isn't why he came. Jesus was born to bring justice into the world, the justice that God required so that we could be forgiven and saved. No one else could do this. No one else was born in the world that is holy and could keep the law. No one else could carry the sins of all of the people in the world and suffer and die on the cross for us. The word redeemed means to buy back by paying a price. Now, in ancient times, knights often who were captured would be ransomed and bought back by a payment of a large sum of money by their relatives, and then they were free. Our ransom was much more costly, as the psalmist says, "You were not redeemed," as Peter says, "you were not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus could pay a ransom because he's the Son of God. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And by his death, he was able to free us from our sins, to make it possible for God to forgive us all of our sins. When the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, they believed the angel's message and understood that this baby was the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This means that God came in human flesh to be our Savior. We were purchased with the great price of Jesus' blood and his death. Because he is God, he was able to pay the price that we could not. And all of that was in order that we could be adopted as God's children. Our Christmas celebration would be incomplete if we only were talking about a nice event that happened 2,000 years ago and how God showed his love to people. Dear friends, Christmas is for you and for me. As we hear in our text, he came and was born under the law in order that we might receive the adoption as sons. God brought Jesus into the world so that we could be adopted as God's children. Now, when Paul talks about sons, he's using that word in the Greek understanding. In Greece, only sons could inherit. And so that's why he used the word son. But he meant to include all people, as he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." It is a great privilege then to be adopted into God's family. We don't belong in God's family when we were born. We were a people that did not know God, that hated God. But by God's grace, he sent his Holy Spirit to tell us about Jesus and the redemption that Jesus paid, that all of that was part of our Christmas celebration. And so God sent Jesus to be born of a woman, be born under the law, in order that we might receive the adoption as sons. For all those who trust in Jesus as their Savior, they are forgiven of their sins. As St. Paul says, as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And as God's children, we have special privileges at Christmas time. Our text says, because you are sons, God sent forth his Spirit into his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Faith in Jesus gives us access to God so that we can cast all our cares upon him and know that he will answer in what is good for us. As sons, we have the privilege of proclaiming the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, to tell the glorious message of the gospel at Christmas, that Christ our Savior is born, that he is born for you, that he is there to give us salvation and eternal life. And as sons and heirs of Christ, we have the promise of that inheritance, as Jesus said, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We joyfully celebrate Christ's birth because of all the blessings God has given to us. At Christmas, we celebrate the mercy of his Father who sent Jesus to be our Savior. At Christmas, we glorify God for his gifts of forgiveness, our adoption by his children as his children by baptism, his promise to give us heaven. These are the Christmas gifts we should treasure and rejoice in. How blessed are we that God sent his Son to redeem all people from sin and death. What a blessing that God has adopted us into his family and given us life in heaven. May God continue to bless us and cause us to rejoice in him as we celebrate Christmas from now until January 6th, as we celebrate the gift of God that we have eternal life through him. May we ever thank God for this gift. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.